It's Thursday, July 18th, 2013, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes movies. You're listening to episode 22, Cruel or Funny. Running time for this episode is 52 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, a show that exists only so that we can have a show. My name is Jeremy.
I guess that does mean we were supposed to shut up. I'm Zach.
And I'm Tyler. I was just commenting on how Protocol for the Sake of Protocol is stupid, but I guess we do have a show for the sake of having a show.
Also, I just introduced us in our protocol.
Yeah, actually, he's right.
See, that's not Protocol for the Sake of Protocol. That's Protocol for the Sake of Organization. Like, arbitrarily appending www to the beginning of a website is pointless. There's no reason. Why do you do it?
Because they can. And most people are inherently lazy.
No, I think it's most people don't know how the internet works, and so they think everything is www. And,
yo!
And the developers just go with that because they expect people to not learn.
Learning
Hi.
For squares. And nerds. Nerds who get dodgeballs thrown at them. I transitioned too early.
That's all right.
That was like going from first to fifth.
Well, that means you've scored a hyperdimensional home run, so...
It's like a level skip.
It is. We just skip levels all the way to pass all the other stuff we're going to talk about first.
Instead of show notes, you should call them warp zones.
That would be pretty interesting. I'll grant you that.
I think I make way more show notes than a lot of other podcasts because I just like put links everywhere every 2 minutes.
We do reference pretty much everything, and I can totally understand most of them.
Well, see, I think a lot of shows do the exact same amount of referencing as us, but I just make extremely copious show notes. I'm not sure if this is a good thing or not, but...
Well, I did get the Train Simulator bitch song stuck in my head because I clicked in it, but I was the one who referenced that in the first place, so...
Your
it's
fault.
My own fault.
It is.
I've done that myself.
You've been hoisted on your own petard?
Yep.
Well, that's what you get for wearing a petard. Who wears petards?
It's not a clothing.
Petard?
Yeah, petard. Totally. So I'm going to link this in the show notes, and I'm going to look like an idiot because I'm probably wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's like a dagger or something.
No. No, you're thinking of a bassalard.
I already thought it was like a harness.
Oh, no.
Either way, we're making ourselves out to be massive idiots. Are we both looking this up, Tyler?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to race you to...
Well, this makes super interesting radio. I should just leave a dead silence while you guys look it up.
No, wait, see, we're working on it. I'm at Wikipedia. Where are you?
Yahoo Answers.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things is a useful source of information.
And it would be...
Neither. We were both incredibly wrong.
So what is a petard?
It is a bell-shaped container for explosives.
That is much better than we thought.
It's actually a petar, and like everything in English came from Shakespeare.
I think that's different. I could be wrong. I could have spelled it wrong. That is distinctly possible. It's not like I've got a degree in English or anything.
Well, you do have a degree in English, and we've already demonstrated that you can't spell, so...
I can spell. Wait, what did I not spell?
All of your blog posts. You notice that I go and edit those for you?
Do you really?
I do, because your spelling and grammar...
No, my grammar's usually pretty bad.
Your grammar's actually decent. Your conventions are terrible. You can't use a punctuation to save your life.
Yeah. I'm getting better, though. It's not like I'm throwing semicolons in everywhere that isn't supposed to be there.
Anyway, we've been...
What are we talking about?
Yeah, we've been meta for like the last 5 minutes, so...
We were talking about letting the listeners hear what it sounds like to hear us discussing what we're planning on doing.
It's like this, but more disorganized. Introduce a little anarchy.
Anyway,
anarchy is a fun word, isn't it?
I'm going to upset the anarchy and introduce some order and some like protocol and stuff and start off with our traditional topic. What have we been playing? Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been...
Train Simulator, bitch!
Yes, I've been devouring Train Simulator. It is awesome! Oh, God,
Jeremy,
no, I'd probably shoot myself.
You derailed the train.
I know.
The train of our podcast, which is already a wreck. So...
Well, I'm splitting my attention between, again, Fire Emblem Awakening, StarCraft II, which I still suck at. I'm still a Silver League superstar. I think I'm like fourth or fifth, though, in my division, which is kind of creepy that there are that many people worse than me.
You're not a Gold League go-getter yet?
Nope, not yet.
Not a Gold League Jigglypuff?
That's a J.
I know, but I...
Also
last,
the wrong sound.
Last week... Yeah, that's... Yes. We realized this. Last week, I was trying to come up with an alliteration and came up with Gold League Gigolos.
That was an awesome link you put in that show notes, by the way. I don't know where it came from.
Ed actually posted that on Google+.
And you're like, this needs to go in our show notes.
Exactly. I was actually going to, like, just post his posts, but he shared it privately, so I couldn't do it.
I think the last one I've been playing a lot of is Major League Baseball, 2K12.
Hey, that's, like, a whole year displaced. Although, I think we've had this discussion.
What do you mean?
Because it's not 2K13?
No. We did have this discussion. I only update every even year.
Exactly.
So, I'm a year behind.
Indeed.
It's the same game.
Yeah.
Functionally.
What do they actually change every year? I know we already...
Roster.
Okay. A lot of times they will revamp the pitching a little bit and close some loopholes and stuff.
The pitching is pretty interesting, but I update it for the roster because...
Every also, 2 years?
Well, yeah. I do fantasy draft anyway, so it's mostly just clearing out the players, the way the players have actually done, or the way the players have progressed according to them.
Fair enough.
Well, what have you been playing?
Stuff. Okay. So this last week, I don't know why, I've been on like a racing game binge, but I haven't played any like real racing games. The closest I've gotten recently has been Burnout.
That's not even a real race. That's not that close to a real racing game.
Anyway, I played Diddy Kong Racing this last week.
That is also not a real racing game.
It's sweet, though. You can race time trials against a clock to unlock it.
I thought I used to have that game.
You did. I used to have it, too.
Honestly, though, it didn't hold up. It did not live up to my memories of it. And this is one of the few games I think I actually had a nostalgia filter for, because I remember this being awesome, and then I went and replayed it, and it is not.
It predates Mario Kart 64, not Super Mario Kart.
I
was going to say Mario 64, and I'm like, that's not true.
No, that's completely true. Diddy Kong Racing as a N64 title was out before the N64's launch titles.
Obviously. Okay, so I decided to play it. I've been holding off on it because I wanted to play it for the show, but it's not available in any virtual console things.
Hear that, Nintendo? Get on that.
Yeah, come on, Nintendo. Make my virtual titles more available so I can actually go buy them. Not that I didn't buy this, but...
No, you totally owned it.
It's an okay game. It definitely shows its age, though. It's shallow. You get pretty much everything in the first three levels, and it never really gets much more complex than that. It's only...
But you race a giant wizard pig, and then Raider lays him in space through the Death Star.
Yes, you do that. There are only 20 levels plus 4 bonus level things. One is capture the flag with eggs in a giant volcano.
I do remember that.
Which is kind of awesome.
Oh yeah, there's that silver coin challenge when you get halfway through the game that's kind of bullcrap, isn't there?
It's actually halfway through each world you do it. You go through one world, race the boss once, and says, oh, you beat me, go get all the silver coins, and you have to get first getting all the silver coins, and then you have to beat the boss when they cheat even more. All the bosses get a head start on you, because they apparently don't understand how this racing rules thing works. But,
well, neither does Diddy Kong, he's a monkey.
That is true. Turns out Tip Top is the secret to beating Whizpig.
Yeah, I've heard he's really good.
I never used him that much. I always used Diddy. But
I feel like I used the mouse.
Yeah, the mouse has excellent handling.
I don't remember any of the characters on
Banjo, Tip Top, and Diddy Kong are the only ones. Oh, and Conker.
Yeah, speaking of which, is this the first game Banjo was in?
And Conker.
No, Conker was in a game on the Super Nintendo.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure she wasn't. He wasn't. Whatever. Squirrels.
Squirrels. Gender. Yeah, so, squirrels are not exceptionally sexually dimorphic, so I can understand the confusion.
So, better than or worse than what or Most Wanted before you gave it away?
Oh, easily worse than. Most Wanted is amazing. That's why I gave it away. I wanted to share the joy of Most Wanted with other people.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sure 5 years ago this appeared on Reddit.
So Jeremy, you and your awesome stories.
Yeah.
Well, first, I've been playing Super Mario 3D Land as part of my Mario binge. I think I'm done with it unless I go on a road trip or something. I got through World 5 of 8, and it's a 3D Mario, but it really plays like a 2D Mario. You go through courses, you try to get to the end.
So, is this the one on the game?
3DS.
The 3DS, yeah. I thought I heard a few of the puzzles use the 3D function.
I was told that, but I haven't found any of them.
I also heard there was only a few of them, but... That would be a pain, because can you see the 3D on the 3DS?
I can get it, but I can't keep it in focus for very long. I keep having to readjust my 3DS. Alex has no problems with it. She claims to be able to see the 3D effect all the time. So.
I saw it, like, once when I first got it.
Alex claims it's because she can't see out of her left eye, really, so no depth perception means always 3D.
I have no problem seeing the 3D. I just don't really get any more out of it, so I usually leave it off.
I only own one game that is technically a 3DS game, and that's the one that my 3DS is actually skinned as.
Yeah, my only 3DS game for a while was the whatever Shinten thing I own, and it has no 3D effects in it anyway, so it's an awesome game, but...
So I've been playing that. I got to World 5, and they've got the stars you collect, like in New Super Mario Bros., but you have to use them to unlock levels, and I finally got to the point where I don't have enough just playing it, and I don't really want to go back. So I think I'm done unless I have a road trip or something. I could see finishing it then.
I always hated it when games did that, where there was an arbitrary number. You had to go back and basically find all the stars,
super gems.
All the gems or whatever the hell they're using at any given time to unlock the next progress. It's like, why can't you just give me the next progress and let me unlock other things that are more, you know, not required to finish the game?
New Super Mario Bros., all the other ones have like a secret ninth world after the game is complete that you need to find coins to unlock, but that's not as big of a deal to me.
Well, that's because that's bonus content. Yeah. You beat the game, and then it's like, well, here's this other thing since you found all this crap. It's an incentive, not a requirement.
A lot of old Kirby games, you can actually play through all the levels, but you have to collect, like, a secret puzzle item in each level. It's usually pretty obvious how to get it, but you have to actually get all of them in order to beat the game, but you can play every level except fight the final boss without getting them.
Yeah, so that's also a little awkward.
It is. Crystal Shards does that, I think.
Yeah, so I never actually got all the Crystal Shards.
And let's see here, Kirby's Adventure 3 does that. All the Kirby's Adventures do that in some respect, so.
But mostly, speaking of adventures, what I've been playing is Dwarf Fortress.
Sweet.
I played it all day Sunday and was like, man, I haven't spent all day playing a video game in a long time. That was great. And then Monday we didn't do our D&D session, and it was midnight, and I'm like, oh, I spent 2 days doing nothing but playing Dwarf Fortress. I have no life. I think this is a cry for help.
Nonsense. You know, every time you describe Dwarf Fortress to me, I've always wanted to try it, but it hasn't been a mainstream release, so I don't have it on a console yet, so I haven't actually done anything.
So I think you might like it, but if you wouldn't like Minecraft, I don't know that you would really like Dwarf Fortress.
Well, Minecraft is more of you have to create your own challenge.
Yeah. Dwarf Fortress will provide you a challenge given time.
I don't know how much I'd enjoy the game. I want to try it is more of my thing.
Oh, it's free, right?
Yeah, it's been about a year since I played it, and the game is a little impenetrable, so I was really worried about what they changed. Turns out they'd mostly just done bug fixes.
Sweet.
So that was nice. Let me paint you a picture. I get my dwarves. I get a perfect embark. It's the only problem with it is it's far away from any civilization, but it's also far away from any civilization, so there aren't going to be any goblins coming, which is ultimately my downfall, is that no goblins invaded me. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
We'll get there.
This is foreshadowing. I begin digging down, and one thing they did change is they changed the way caverns worked. They made them much higher, like they're accessible higher, and I was on a map where they were really high, so I got into the caverns for the first time. I'm like, I'm going to ignore that for a while and hope nothing bad happens. So I'm getting my fortress up. Nothing's bad's happened. I'm getting a little complacent.
So
I get some migrant waves.
Are the caverns like a permanently accessible version of the Nether or something? Like you open up a portal and things can come through it, basically?
Not exactly. There is that, but it's
hidden. Something else.
It's referred to as HFS on the wiki for hidden fun stuff.
I was going to go for hell file system.
I was going to go for holy f***.
Yeah. But so anyway, I get to the caverns and I'm good. I've got my first migrant wave stuff is set. Suddenly one of my dwarfs dies and I'm like, what's up? There is a cave crocodile on my main staircase because since I dug it up, my main staircase goes into the caverns. So I dwarf my entire fortress. We have no weapons because the one problem with this, there's no iron or copper that I found yet. And I don't want to go deeper because of these caverns.
Wait, did you just say you dwarf your entire fortress?
I draft my entire fortress is what I meant to say.
No, you dwarf it.
Yeah, they have no weapons. The cave crocodile gets through the entire fortress and out into the sunlight as my dwarves are beating on it, stomping it. They have no weapons. They knock it out, but it takes them a month to stomp it to death.
And they're just like jumping on the crocodile for a month.
It's like a trampoline. Fun for all the family.
It kills 5 dwarves, which is enough for them to give it a name. It's not something pronounceable. It's like it's got like 4 S's and 4 B's. But
it's got like 30 letters and no vowels.
It's got a bunch of E's in it. It was like Sesabarek, but
so it's in Dwarvish, ostensibly, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I need to have an army and some traps. So I built traps around the cavern stairs. A giant salamander gets through the traps, but mortally wounded, and my dwarves with wooden spears managed to finish it off. And then I captured 2 cave crocodiles alive, and I trained them to guard my fortress.
Awesome.
So
did they have names?
Gork and Mork.
They did. I don't remember what they were.
Okay.
So things are going well. And it's like a forgotten beast has appeared. I have no idea what's going on. And it's in the caverns, a creature made of mud appears.
What?
I'm like, what the? Go army, please don't kill me. It turns out mud is not a very durable substance. But the spear dwarf who kills him is afflicted with a fever, which my cat spread throughout the fortress, and I cannot cure. So I've got doctors trying to, you know, deal with this. My best dwarves that were on my military die from the affliction.
Pandemic. Dwarf Fortress Edition.
Spread by cats.
A second forgotten beast appears. This one, another crocodile made of flesh and teeth.
Wait, what?
That's the description.
Isn't that what a crocodile is made out of in the first place?
Yes, yes it is.
Flesh and teeth?
Well, we managed to kill it, and from its bones and all the meat it dropped since it was made of flesh, we have plenty of food and I can make ammo.
I love how because it's made of flesh, it's somehow different than normal.
Yes.
I think it was, in theory, dead, like an undead crocodile or a skinless crocodile or something.
Or like a homunculus or something. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then my brother comes in. I'm like, yeah, this is my fortress. What's going on? I look at something. There's a dwarf on top of another dwarf, and it is a vampire drinking the blood from one of my dwarves. And I can't figure out how to get rid of this vampire.
You have wooden spears.
You can't kill one of your dwarves, though.
They're a community?
Okay. Yeah. And I accuse him of murder, but the sheriff is infected with the disease from earlier and won't do anything about this vampire problem. I still haven't built anything in front of my fortress because there are no goblins coming to invade.
Clearly someone read Dracula.
And speaking of reptiles, a dragon appears.
Awesome. From above ground?
Yes.
While you're dealing with a fever and a vampire infestation.
I draft the vampire. He is one of two casualties in the Dragon War. Because
sweet.
Dragons are glass cannons. They can do a ton of damage and kill dwarves from range. But shields block dragon fire, and the vampire didn't get a chance to pick one up on his way to the fight.
Perfect.
So the dragon burns down all of my wood supply, but only gets one valuable dwarf and a vampire. So that problem is dealt with.
Have you ever had vampires before?
They're something new, but I knew they had added them.
Okay.
You just didn't know exactly how that guy became a vampire.
No, they migrate to the fortress, and they pretend to be a normal dwarf. You can, like, look at their history, and he had 12 children. And it murdered all these people.
You can still give them orders?
Yeah. He pretends to be a normal dwarf in all ways. If you can, like, get them separated from the rest of the dwarves, they don't need food or drink, so they're actually really valuable.
So could you theoretically, like, micromanage them enough that they never have time to go drink blood?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, because eventually all dwarves will go on break. And when vampires go on break, they go suck blood.
So couldn't you build, like, a small room and keep him in there until you needed him?
Theoretically, yes. That's what some people do, but I wanted to get rid of the vampire menace.
Stumpy, the evil vampire.
He gave his life to fight the dragon.
So my fortress is big enough that now the humans and elves are coming from far away to trade with me. Kobolds are coming to steal stuff from me. There are occasionally another forgotten beast shows up. There was one that was like a scorpion with 12 tails.
The Hydra of scorpions.
Yeah. And some other cool ones. There was a dragonfly. He was a pain in the ass since he could fly all around the caverns. But nothing too exciting. And then a goblin goblin invasion finally comes. But it's one squad across the river, so I send my marked dwarfs to murder them.
Your what dwarfs?
Instead of marksmen.
Ah.
And I'm like, I should build defense. I should get a bridge. I kind of want a bridge with a moat, but I can't make water. I know, I'll put spear traps there. Oh, I don't have any steel. Well, I'll get enough spears and trade eventually. I'll do that later.
And then it never happened?
No. Spoilers.
Sounded like my mutilisk escapades.
So I'm going around. Nothing can slay the dwarves. A minotaur appears. Minotaur don't got nothing. Dwarves! So we're building. I become a barony, which is something I've never managed before.
Say, it seems like opening the caverns was exciting, but not detrimental.
It was a bit of a setback. It's a resource. They've got a bunch of gold, too. That's why I'm getting a bunch of my wealth.
Okay.
But everything's going well, and then a full-on goblin invasion comes, and I'm like, release the draw. Oh, yeah.
They're like, we haven't heard from our squad of goblins in a few years, so we're going to send an entire freaking army to go find out what happened.
They're
all
mounted on cave crocodiles or elk birds. And they brought ogres with them.
I like that elk bird is a thing.
Yeah. I draft all my dwarves again. Half of them die in the siege. More still die of depression afterwards because of all the dwarves that died. Or all but two of my doctors died in the siege. So there a lot of people expire from the wounds. Sadly, right before my baroness becomes a duchess, she dies.
This sounds exactly like real life. You got into war, all of your doctors died, everyone dies of disease.
But I finish my bridge, everything is great. I have to expand my grazing area a little bit because I have so many animals now. I finish the drawbridge and I'm expanding my pen. But the dwarves can't get to a certain wall to finish the pen, so I take down part of the wall to do it. And a second invasion comes. Release the drawbridge. Yes, this time I have it. There's one little square. I'm like, oh no, oh no. Remove the stairs before they get in. Remove the stairs. Okay, and the three stairs are three tiles wide. One tile's down. Okay, you can do it, dwarves. You can do it. Two tiles down. Yes, yes. A troll comes in. Scares all the dwarves away. The goblins pour in on this one by one tile of stairs. Game over. So that's Dwarf Fortress.
That sounds like real life, yeah. You work hard at whatever you're doing until you get screwed over in the end by a one-by-one square. So despite all your best efforts, you're going to lose.
It's called having fun in Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like a blast.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. How much time did this consume over the last week?
2 days. Then I played like 3 hours on Tuesday and probably 3 or 4 on Wednesday. So probably about 30 hours total.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Especially for a loss.
Saddened and relieved when all my dwarves were murdered by goblins.
Because it meant you no longer had to babysit them?
Yes.
Goddamn dwarves.
It was a really good location, too.
Except for the cavern right there.
Well, even then, if I had known about it, I could have used that. Like you said, it was as much a boon as a detriment.
Fair enough. That's way more exciting than what I was playing. I just raced a giant wizard pig.
I don't know. You raced them through the Death Star. I didn't get to do that.
Honestly, I didn't get that far. I got bored.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's really samey. They don't do enough to introduce new elements, so... And there's not enough strategy to really make it worth the effort. Anyway, so yeah, Dwarf Fortress. Freaking amazing. I wanted to play that for years. I remember trying it once, but the ASCII art and combined calculations were so complex that my Frankentop that I had in college wouldn't run it.
They've made it a lot more efficient, but they've also made it way more complex. That was back when you had hit points, whereas now you have full injury.
Oh, that's awesome.
That sounds more difficult than...
just having hit points?
Well, it just sounds difficult to get into. It sounds like basically you need a jackhammer or a few big burly guys to break through the impenetrable shell outside it.
Assuming you have an easy level, yeah.
So it definitely seems to have a huge ramp-up speed. I remember trying to find a tutorial for it once, and I'm like, how do I click? This doesn't make any sense.
I have a good one, but it predates the revamping of the army and the introduction of doctors. Introduction of doctors, which are pretty major elements, so that's sort of unfortunate. But it is a pretty good tutorial. It taught me. I also forgot that the dragon killed those crocodiles, but then immediately the elves came and traded me a war grizzly bear and a war leopard.
Awesome.
To replace them.
Hey, that'll work.
So yeah, Dwarf Fortress. Dwarves are great. Fortresses are great.
So you know, fortress is an awesome word, and I really like the hard consonant W sound, so Dwarf Fortress. That's a really awesome title for a game.
It is.
You don't see that very often. I mentioned, 2 weeks ago, how Bases Loaded is a great title for a game.
Not as good as Bases Reloaded, but it's pretty good.
Well, there are several games out there that it's like, why did you even... That's a terrible title. Why did you do that?
Like Doom. That's an awesome title.
Mass Effect is a good title. It sounds sci-fi-y.
When you have the soft consonant followed by a vowel sound, and it just flows really well.
I'm partial to Dragon Age, but that's hitting the nail right on the head.
They should have called Skyrim, actually.
Yeah, Dragon Age. Yeah, Dragon Age should have been called Do Stuff the Game. Or
Game of Thrones Light.
Yeah, Choices with People Who Hate Each Other the Game.
Game of Thrones Light.
And you're playing Tyrion Lannister, except you're not a dwarf. You get to be awesome.
You could be a dwarf.
You're awesome and make all the decisions.
Game of Thrones is a pretty good title, too.
It is.
As is A Song of Ice and Fire, I suppose. Game of Thrones is a little more to the point.
Every time I think Game of Thrones, I'm picturing like musical chairs with very, very impressive looking chairs.
So in this, the Game of Thrones is actually just pull one of the swords out of the Iron Throne and try to stab someone with it. But you can only use each sword once. So
last man standing wins.
Exactly. And then you have to sit on what's left of the throne, which might include exposed swords. So really, it's a game where everyone loses.
Like Dwarf Fortress.
Exactly. Or Minecraft. You always lose Minecraft eventually. Or you get to a point where you can never possibly lose. I like Game of Thrones better than I like A Song of Ice and Fire because it more accurately describes what actually is going on.
I feel like A Song of Ice and Fire describes where they're going, but...
Yeah, it's better setting, but the actual story is a Game of Thrones. The setting is A Song of Ice and Fire, but... So, what makes a good title? I think brevity, as we've decided, is a pretty good one.
Something that generally encapsulates whatever it is you're trying to do. Like Dwarf Fortress, the entire goal is building up a dwarf fortress.
Well, Minecraft.
Doom is kind of...
Yeah, that one's...
It's eye-catching, but it doesn't exactly tell you what anything's about.
No, but it's really short. I think single-syllable titles are amazing, so...
Unfortunately, not very...
Not descriptive.
Well, they're not descriptive, and they're very rare now. I was going to say Halo, but that's two syllables.
I think we've moved... Well, okay, yeah, but Halo is a single word, and honestly, that's a pretty good title. I think we've moved away from simple titles to more descriptive ones, and I'm not sure if this is a bad thing
Fuse.
Or a
good
thing. What's Fuse?
It is a third-person shooter along the same lines as Brute Force, where each guy has their own individual abilities and whatnot. Better played co-op. The title is Fuse, and it doesn't tell you jack about what it's actually about.
And that's actually a pretty bad title.
Apparently it was originally called, like, Overstrike or something, but then they changed it.
But yeah, Minecraft is an awesome title that's super descriptive of what you do. You mine, and then craft, so that you can mine, and then craft.
But that doesn't encapsulate the fact that you're going to die by creeper.
No, that's part of mining.
Oh, okay.
Or crafting if you build a crappy house. So
anyway, titles. I'm really fond of, and they've stopped doing this, putting some sort of moniker of the system in the title, like Super Mario World. Or
Nintendo?
Donkey Kong 64.
That was really only a Nintendo thing, though.
Yeah, did they really do that with any other system?
No, I think it was because I don't remember seeing any PlayStation Monster Ranch or PlayStation Final Fantasy.
Did they?
It was probably about 95. I think also because their operating systems were years, so it pulled Double Duty.
That is true.
I don't remember.
But could you imagine?
I don't remember any of those because the MechWarrior games that I played never had any of those.
Well, no, because MechWarrior had reasonable titles like MechWarrior 1 and MechWarrior 2 with the Returning.
MechWarrior 2 is the one I've played, and I don't remember.
It doesn't have a subtitle.
It's called MechWarrior 2.
Oh, okay.
Well, there are a couple that do. It's MechWarrior 2 and MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries, and I think there's another one, but I can't remember what it is.
Can you imagine, though, if there was, like, Halo 360? That would sound so goofy.
I kind of
thought
for the 360 they would do it, but I really, really hope we won't get Halo 1 now.
Halo 5. One Halo 5.
Yeah.
Anyway, system titles is part of the moniker. This week's game defies that trend because it's a Nintendo game that existed before the Super Nintendo even existed.
Yeah, it came out the year I was born, Super Dodgeball.
Oh, did this actually come out then?
89.
Damn, I'm old.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge an old video game.
I wish.
Cartridges are pretty easy to dodge. They don't get a lot of air.
Yeah, they're not super aerodynamic. They've got this hole that if you throw them the wrong way, they actually get a huge amount of drag.
The 64 cartridges? Man, those things, they hurt.
Yeah, the 64 ones are much more aerodynamic since they're about half the size and got rounded edges.
Yeah, you could really fling those things at somebody.
And I feel like they're a lot denser, probably because they could fit a lot more transistors on the circuit board in there. And it's kind of shaped like a boomerang, so if you throw it just right, you might get it to return.
Well, there are a lot of games that's about the best you can get out of them. It's just winging them at people.
You know the best boomerang game I ever had was Metroid Prime, because I kept selling it and then rebuying it.
I was that way with Star Fox 64.
No, I never got rid of my copy of that until I got rid of my N64.
Why would you ever get rid of a 64?
Because I was naive as a child and thought that they would make all my favorite games again on the GameCube, and then they didn't.
You're an idiot.
I know. I waited an entire console generation for a new Metroid. Anyway, Super Dodgeball. It's a game about throwing balls at racial stereotypes and winning.
You know, I think Dodgeball is just inherently really funny, maybe because it's the game of pratfalls. I mean, it's a cruel game and cruelty is funny. It's a game where big muscle-bound jocks would throw balls at us and we'd cry.
I never cried.
So
I was pretty good at dodgeball,
yeah,
if I remember
too,
correctly.
Actually.
You know, I wasn't the real special one, but I was functional, at least. I was never the kid, you know, hiding in the corner hoping nobody threw one at him.
So I'm actually pretty decent at sports. I just prefer to not be playing them, so...
Clearly you are wrong.
What?
I got...
Now, clearly I'm right because I'm a software engineer now, and this has worked out well.
Well, just because you're too damn smart.
said that's why I prefer programming to throwing balls at people.
This was a recommendation from my brother, who absolutely loves this game.
Thanks, Jason.
He was right. This is amazing.
I disagree.
Think it's okay.
And that's our consensus.
We disagree? I'm shocked! I disagree with the two of you? I'm more surprised that you two don't agree with each other.
Yeah, well.
I think the game was a little overhyped to me. Jason has been saying we need to do this since we started the podcast. Actually, since before we started the podcast. He was like, Jeremy, start a podcast so you can play Super Dodgeball.
But he appears to
I don't know why he's Orpheus from
Your brother talks Venture like
Brothers,
that now?
But
I was actually thinking he appears to you every night at midnight like one of the ghosts from Christmas Carol.
Oh, I was thinking Hamlet's dad when you said that.
Can you imagine if Hamlet said, Hamlet, you should play this totally sweet video game.
Make for much better play.
Also, get some, because you're really emo.
There's a Saturday morning breakfast cereal that's talking about how Hamlet is actually just extremely asocial and awkward.
Yeah.
And that's how...
That's a perfectly valid interpretation of Hamlet. So, anyway, I had a lot of expectation for this game, and it's just sort of okay, but... I think what's really good about it is the animations. When you hit someone, they, like, go flying and look like they've got all the wind knocked out of them. And when they get defeated, they turn into angels cartoon style
so
and fly up.
It's not just dodgeball, it's death ball.
Yeah, no, you're trying to actively kill your opponents. Although you have to pay for a resurrection potion after every round to heal your guys. But because if your guys die, they come back the next round.
I never lost any of my guys.
I did once, but you also never played on difficult. The Indians are... God damn, those guys are hard.
They're also probably on break from the call center. Speaking of casual racism.
Yeah, okay. So, we'll probably get to the actual meat of this game in a bit, but this game is made in the 80s, and it shows.
Yeah, it really does.
Other than the awkward, like, the NES can't actually display everything on the screen at the same time, so the stuff is constantly flickering. It shows.
Well, you go up against the Chinese in front of a massive painting of Mao, and you... go up against the Russians when I don't know if he actually was there, but I always figured Stalin was watching.
No. Okay, wait. So let's go through the... I've been describing the last stage pretty amazingly, but let's go through the actual campaign really quick.
First, you have to defeat the other American team. I think they're Dallas?
They're New York.
Oh, you're Dallas. They're New York.
We're Dallas?
I think so.
We're the
you're
All-Stars.
Dallas?
We're the All-Stars. We're just generic America.
Yeah, I thought we were like small-town America from wherever the hell you want to be.
Oh, by the way, in single-player mode, you can only ever play the generic American team.
So you
That's because they're the best.
You have to play the other American team for the qualifiers for the international championship.
You play on a roof, like, over Ellis Island with, like, a giant American flag, a Statue of Liberty, and, like, New York City is the backdrop.
Also, they're slightly better than Girl Scouts.
Yeah, they're not very good. I'm not sure how they made it to the qualifiers when you can kick their asses so easily.
Well, either way, I mean, dodgeball as a sport in general is always going to be funny.
Yeah,
which is why it's depressing that I've heard a lot of schools have banned it because it's inherently cruel.
No, that's the point. Cruelty is
exactly.
good for you.
It gets you used to the real world.
I never played dodgeball in school. I kind of just don't like it because I feel like I missed out. I don't know if it was cruel or fun.
It was fun if you weren't the one being targeted.
So, I always try to target the guys in the front lines because they're always the ones throwing really hard, and if you get them out sooner, then you win.
Nobody ever knew who I was, so no one ever really targeted me.
Anyway, yeah, dodgeball's hilarious. I remember this one time I, like, dove in front of a guy to try to catch a ball and totally just took it in the face and flew back, like, 2 feet. We were playing with rubber balls at this point, so it was extra.
Oh, God, that would hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, like the four-square balls that you use.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we were playing kickball with one of those things, and I got hit in the face. Like, oh. I was pitching, and I got just hit right in the face by one of those things. It hurt like hell.
I was in a strength and conditioning class in high school for 2 semesters, and one semester, a bunch of kids were definitely playing dodgeball with, like, 10-pound medicine balls.
That sounds like a really bad idea. Was alcohol involved?
No. Alex's family has this theory that if you get a group of guys together, the amount of brain shared between them actually decreases exponentially. So
it's like ninjas.
Exactly. Once you get to 4, you're completely ineffective.
I would argue that yes, that makes perfect sense.
Anyway, second stage is India. Oh, no, England.
Second stage is the Brits.
I forgot about the Brits.
There's limey dodgeball.
Everybody forgets about the Brits.
Well, what is the name of that? Okay, Kitty and Ed just went there and took pictures of it. What's that? No, but the bridge that's there.
Who cares what it's called?
Yes, it... Is it just the Bridge Over the Thames?
It's London Bridge, the Bridge Over the Thames. You know the song London Bridge is Falling Down?
Yeah, I totally know the song London Bridge is Falling Down.
Tense?
You know no one can hear you, right?
On the podcast, no one can hear Alex scream.
Actually, I'm pretty sure the mics would pick her up screaming.
Anyway, so you fight the English, there's like Big Ben and stuff. Yeah, whatever. Then you fight the Indians, and they play in front of the Taj Mahal, and they're all like super dark skin, and there's like this awkward quasi-Indian music playing.
And they're really good at catching dodgeballs.
I know, and they, oh man, their backfield play is really good. I'll explain what that means later, but they're really good at playing in the backfield.
Maybe we should explain what that means now, since we've been talking about the levels, but not actually the game.
Well, that's about right.
The game is pretty...
But we were talking about casual racism, so...
That's true.
So then you fight Iceland?
Yeah, Iceland on a glacier.
Yeah, with like penguins and snowmen and igloos. I'm pretty sure Iceland is actually the more temperate of Iceland and Greenland.
It is.
Actually, it is. They named Greenland Greenland in order to get more people to show up.
I doubt that's true, but... Coincidentally, Iceland has the highest number of writers per capita of any country. Also, highest number of books read per capita.
That says nothing about successful.
Well, no. It's just everyone there has nothing better to do, so they all write.
It's like because Springfield, Missouri Iceland. Has the most podcasters per capita.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense.
Because there's nothing to do in Springfield.
Oh, yeah, well...
I've been to Springfield, Missouri.
Have I? Is that where we flew into?
Yeah, all the Hicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, it made an impression on him.
Well, there's church and porn and Jesus in the fields, and that's about it.
So. I was told there was also meth and a school. like a college.
Who would want to go to college there?
Iceland's pretty ridiculous. And what do you do after that? China? Is China next?
I have no idea.
I think so.
But yeah, you fight China.
Oh, Kenya.
Kenya is the most racist.
Kenya is great. Well, it's not really great at throwing dodgeballs, but they do run for a long time.
They do. Okay, so Kenya, you play in a jungle. Like, there's no infrastructure anywhere. You're in a jungle. While the sun's setting in a mud pit, and the mud pit exists such that you have like a startup speed to get to your top speed because you're in mud, and they're all like super black, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You fight Kenyans in a jungle. Come on, guys. Jeremy's just giving me this look.
No, I just came to a realization, and it's not the appropriate time to say on the podcast. But, like, we pointed out Ryan was in the background and might talk, and he never did. We didn't mention Alex at all, but he's been quite vocal. Anyway.
In case anybody didn't notice, Alex is in the background.
Yeah, this happens occasionally when we record at my house. Then it's China, and they've got, like, a giant painting of the bottom half of Mao's face on the back wall.
So it's this really creepy smile the entire time you're playing.
Yeah, you can only basically see him smiling, but you can't actually see his entire face.
What you don't know is in the next room, Forrest Gump is playing ping pong to decide the fate of the nation.
Well, you're playing dodgeball to decide the fate of the nation, so...
No, you have bigger goals in mind. You're gonna fry those damn Russians.
Who you then get to after you fight the Japanese, and they're in a very nice Japanese area.
The game was made by the Japanese, so there's less racism and more just gates.
Yeah. There's, like, cherry blossoms and Mount Fuji, and...
It looks like Mystical Ninja.
Yeah, it looks like Mystical Ninja should have looked. And then you fight the Russians in 1950 Russia at the Berlin Wall somehow, and...
They're all Drogo from Rocky IV. They're all cyborgs with giant faces that are going to crush you with their giant British shoulders. British? Russian shoulders.
And then when you beat them, if you didn't lose anyone the entire game, you fight ghost versions of yourself in communist Russia alternate nether universe while Stalin laughs at you from the wall.
Don't cross the dodgeballs!
Coincidentally, you can also totally cross the line in this game. So now that we've gotten through the casual racism, how does this game actually work?
Poorly.
I think pretty well, honestly, but maybe that's why I liked it so much.
For an NES game, they really economize their buttons. The D-pad moves you around. You have a court divided into, like, dodgeball. You've got three people in the main field. You control whoever is closest to the ball, and three people in your opponent's backfield.
Who can basically field the ball either back to one of the main players, or try to huck it into your opponent's zone and, like, peg them while they're not paying attention to the backfielders.
It works better to throw it back to your other guys.
I think it works better against humans to try to peg them, but it works better against computers to throw it back to the main guys because they have better throwing power. But anyway, you can throw. You can jump by pressing throw and... What's the other...
Pass.
Oh, pass,
yeah,
if you're on
pass
offense.
It to, either the guys in your back line or from the back line to the front line or to a different got. You can also run by double tapping forward. And if you run and then shoot, you'll do a power shot.
You'd have to take about 4 cycles of your sprite's running animation to get just about the right timing on it. However, you can run basically any length of time, jump, and at the apogee of your arc, throw it, and that does a jumping power shot.
Which I could never really do.
The jumping power shots are varied in usefulness. Some of the characters that have useless ground shots have pretty awesome jumping shots.
I never really figured out how to jump, but as I said off the mics, I was pretty much bored with this one on the third level.
I would like to comment on the jumping really quick. We complained about double dragging. Jumping was really freaking hard, and they expected you to do a lot of it. This game, they expected you to do none of it, and it's really easy.
There are different power shots depending on your character. Some of them home, some of them do more damage, some of them turn invisible, some of them move in a sine wave.
Yeah, you don't get any of the really awesome ones unless you're playing against another human, in which case you get to play one of the foreign teams. Like, Iceland's team captain has this one that disappears for a second and then reappears right in front of the target.
I feel like one of the Americans had that, too.
No. One of the Americans had one that you could throw it and it would, like, go out into the middle of the field for a second and then just zoom over to a target. The Chinese have one that, or maybe it's the Kenyans have one that does the same thing, except it goes up and then back down at a diagonal. The problem with all this is that when you're on defense, you can either catch, which is really easy because you have a lot of time to catch a ball, or you can duck. Almost every ball you can just duck.
I thought you said you can duck jump shots.
But not necessarily jump power shots.
Huh.
Regular jump shots you cannot duck, and some jump power shots you can't duck. Like Sam, your team's lead guy, his power shot that's jumping is basically a faster version of the regular jump shot. And you can't duck that. But there's this guy, Bill. He's the bald guy on your team. You may or may not have had him in your main field ever. His jumping power shot throws a ball off screen way up, and then it like meteor dives on an opponent, but you can duck this for some reason. If you're ducking, it lands right on you, and you're fine.
Now I want, like, Final Fantasy limit breaks in this game.
Oh, man. I would actually really like to play an updated version of this game. I really like it, but...
There was a Game Boy Advance and a DS version of this game.
Really?
Yeah.
I might have to pick one of those up eventually, but... So, basically, the game is huck ball at opponent. Opponent usually doesn't catch it because they're a computer, or if they're human, they always catch it, and it's a question of who messes up first. The power shots are all, while different, fairly homogenous in how you react to them.
Catch it.
Yeah, you catch it, and they're all pretty easy to catch, because you have such a long catching period after you press the catch button.
I think the fun of this game comes from the energy. Like I said, it's inherently fun to see someone get whacked in the face by a ball and go flying. And I think if you really enjoy the visual style that this game has, which is really exaggerated, as we talked about all the racism, it's a lot of fun.
The game is fast-paced, if you want it to be. I guess you could play it really slow. The game is fast-paced. You can take cheap shots on your opponents while they're down. If you get below a certain amount of health, you, like, get dizzy, and you can take cheap shots on them that way.
It's really satisfying when they turn around and they're moving backwards, and you manage to whack them in the back of the head.
That's the only way I defeated India the first time, actually, is they would always... So in this game, you don't get penalized for crossing the line, except if you stand there with the ball too long, you drop it for the other team to pick up. But he can totally run across the line, jump up in the air, and shoot it and be halfway across her court. And the Indians do this occasionally on difficult, and then you can just pick up the ball and peg them on the way back.
Eh, it's, like I said, I got through about the first level, and like, you know, this is kind of interesting. Then the second level happened, like, well, this is more the same of what I did already. You got to the third level, I'm like, when is this level, when does this game end? Because I just wanted it to be over, because it's doing the same thing over and over and over again. There's not enough to break it up into something that I was truly interested in continuing.
So for me, the allure is that each of the nations had a kind of different AI, and learning what it was and how to exploit it was a lot of fun, and just, oh man, especially on difficult, the satisfaction of pegging someone with a power shot where you've been like doing 2 and 3 damage, and then you hit them and do like 27, and it's amazing. It's such a great feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Tyler, but I also agree with Zach. I got through the game on easy, and I felt like I needed to play it on normal to be comprehensive. So I did, but I didn't really want to play it again and again. It wasn't like my brother. I was like, oh man, this game is so good.
Sam, one of the things for me is that this game is really easy to pick up. So I could play a level and then put it back down and then come back later. I'm like, man, I really feel like throwing a dodgeball at someone and just play a level. Although I think beanball might be better for that.
Yeah, beanball is a mode where there's no court, it's just 6 people all throwing balls at each other, free-for-all.
Unfortunately, you can only play as the standard American team, so you can't get the awesome Iceland warp ball.
Yeah, it just didn't... I don't know what it was necessarily.
Oh, I was going to ask you too. But
well, no, it just wasn't fun because it was doing the exact same thing over and over again, slowly whittling down the other team until they were finally out. And it was just so samey. It was 20 minutes of doing the exact same thing for each level. Then on the next level, it was 20 more minutes or whatever how long it took of doing the exact same thing.
So if these levels are taking you 20 minutes, you're doing it wrong.
It wasn't 20 seconds. Minutes. It each took me about 30 seconds to a minute. The later levels took me longer.
So I may have exaggerated. They're probably about 5 minutes apiece, but
yeah. Well, like the late, I think 5 minutes is about what it was, but like the last level, I think took me 10 minutes. To beat the Russians, then 10 minutes to beat the clones of myself.
So the Russians and the clones I actually found a lot easier than some of the other people. Maybe that's just the way I play, but...
Yeah, the Russians had a lot of hit points, so you had to keep hitting them, but the AI didn't seem as good.
Yeah, like the Icelanders have a huge amount of health, but like no damage resistance, so you can do a lot of damage to them pretty quickly.
I was going to ask you guys, what do you think could make this game better? Because we're getting to about that time, but I don't really know what I think.
I can tell you what to think.
Go ahead.
Okay, it actually, sucks. For you, Zach...
How does that make it better?
Can you please quantify this? Why does it suck? How would you make it better? I guess maybe you don't have to say why it sucks. What would you do to make it better, though?
What I'd do to make it better is I'd probably add some additional teams, as you said. I'd add in a few more like things to make it interesting, like a power-up tossed in by the crowd or something.
That'd be fun, actually.
To create interesting ideas. And then, you know, give the guys on the backfield, give them a little bit more options. Maybe another ball or two in place. They've got three balls going all over the place, two.
How would you control that?
I was going to say, I think you need a Super Nintendo or an Xbox controller for that. I agree, if you were making a sequel, that's all really good ideas.
I would really like it so that your backfielders could just randomly run in and try to intercept a ball that's being thrown at the opponent or something. That might be a little off. My biggest problem with it is, like I mentioned earlier, if you fall below 16 health, each peg, by the way, represents 4. But if you fall below 16 health, you get dizzy. But if you only have one person left on the enemy team and you hit them but don't do enough to kill them, they just sit there with the ball on their side of the court. There's nothing you can do to pick it up.
That was obnoxious.
Yeah, there are some... I forgot about that. There are obnoxious bits where, like, you'll get knocked down and you'll be controlling a different person, but he's way far away from the ball. Or just times where you can't really do anything and it's just sitting there. But I really feel like they made very good use of the controller.
Quite.
They had 2 buttons and a 4-direction pad, and they give you a lot to do with them.
They give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different types of shots. You can run, you can jump, and you can pass, you can throw, you can catch, you can dodge.
Come to think of it, I think one of the other things I'd add in here is instead of having your guy blink, give him a little ring to indicate who you're actually controlling at any given moment.
They're not supposed to blink. That's actually a rendering issue. It actually just has an arrow over your head to indicate who the active player is. The blinking is actually the NES not being able to display everything.
I thought that was who I was targeted on.
No, yeah, it's got some rendering issues, which we didn't really mention, because they're not really obtrusive.
No, I didn't really feel like they inhibited me, although it was kind of distracting at first. When I was playing it for a little bit over Google Hangouts screen share, and Ed was watching me, and he's like, this game looks freaking unplayable, and it's because... the screen share screenshots were only sending like every half second or so. So all that in between was just like, dunk, 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 dunk. And because of the rendering issues, it looked like no one was on screen.
Well, like I said, I thought it was who I was actually targeting is who was blinking.
I could see that causing some problems.
Didn't cause that many problems. The game's not that hard.
Also, you can tell if someone has the ball, that's who you are. So yeah. That's also pretty mm-hmm. easy.
My absolute biggest problem is with the computer having the ball on your side of the court. And they're passing it around between each other, well, it kind of arbitrarily decides who's going to be the closest because your AI control guys all kind of cluster around in the same spot. So it's constantly changing who you have focus over. So the only real hard part is knowing which way to try to be facing to try to catch the ball rather than actually catching the ball.
I don't think I ever really intercepted backfield passes. I just had to wait for them to just dribble out onto my side of the field.
Dribble out?
Well, like after they hit me with one of them, kind of dribble out so that I could actually pick it up.
Now, I got pretty good at catching it eventually, but because it changes randomly, you might be facing the opposite direction you intended to because it switched who you were controlling.
Yeah.
That's kind of a problem. And
that's a pain in the ass.
I actually think bigger courts and slightly larger teams would make this a more interesting game.
Like 5-on-5?
Yeah, I think,
make it like
it's 6-on-6.
Well, yeah, but I mean 5 guys in the center for each side, maybe 3 on the back still.
Yeah, I think 3 on the back is the appropriate number, but I think having more people in the infield is a better idea.
I do think making it more of a like outlandish type of game would do even better. Like I said,
power-ups?
Yeah, power-ups.
That's a really good idea.
Throwing in, just like make it mutant like style things. You know, if a game is lasting a certain amount of time, you start seeing like landmines and stuff become active on the field,
or like a and the ball of the becomes a drop out.
Yeah, the ball becomes a like a bomb
Stalin
or something.
Starts marching tanks in on you.
Yeah, the field starts to shrink.
Or if you catch a ball like 3 times in a row, you get to throw an automatic super ball back with no lag time between catching it or something.
Something like that, yeah.
There are a lot of things that can make this game better, but honestly, I found this to be a lot of fun. It's quick, it's simple. I probably played this game more than any other game we played for the podcast, including Radius.
Really?
I played a lot of this game.
Okay.
I respect your opinion and disagree.
I can see how you would find this boring. I don't know why I find this so exciting other than it's so ridiculous.
I think the visuals are really good. Really, my recommendation is watch a game or two on YouTube, and if it looks interesting to you, pick it up. And if not, skip it.
Or, you know, you can listen to our podcast, and if you tend to agree with Zach on things, then don't play it. If you tend to agree with me on things, do play it. And if you tend to agree with Jeremy, then who the f*** are you?
Yeah. Or just do what he just said. Check it out on YouTube if you think it's applicable.
Empiricism. Don't you know humans work on anecdote?
Exactly.
YouTube is the anecdote of video. Do you know what Vine is?
I have heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Okay, I'm not going to have this conversation now. Instead, we're going to talk about what we're playing next week.
Maybe next week.
Zach, we'll have and if you don't make the super-to-super connection, I will be sad.
Well, I've been torn on whether or not... Because I've heard Tyler talking a lot about Chrono Trigger. And a lot of the things that he's mentioned have been kind of interesting. So I'm torn on whether or not I want to go with the old RPG type of thing. We did play Mario...
And
RPG a while
Mario
back.
At the expense of Chrono Trigger, and I'm all for delaying Chrono Trigger more because I've decided to be that guy.
Okay, so I guess we're gonna instead. I believe we're gonna play.
Well, also I'm starting work next week, ostensibly. So Chrono
yeah, that's
Trigger
true.
Is gonna be.
Yeah, I remember. I remember you mentioning something about that. So I guess this time we're gonna go with Super Smash Brothers on the N64. I know I'm gonna regret this.
I think I still have my copy, but I haven't seen it in a while, so I may have to buy a new one.
I know I don't have it.
The way I have my cartridges arranged in the basement, it actually sticks out a little bit, so...
See, I think I might just be thinking of yours since I see it every time I'm in your basement, but I don't know.
So yeah, next time, we're going to smash some faces in. It's going to be awesome.
I think it's appropriate that our first N64 game is the one that pits all the N64 characters together, and Samus.
And Samus. Poor Samus. Next time and last time, Super Smash Brothers.
Hi!
Oh, wait, Alex, you have to come over here. Kirby noise.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013.
All of the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, GEREMY@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page if you don't want to hit the blog at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You should probably click on it or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is @LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated.
You're whispering to the mic. You're not making love to it. You're trying to make the listeners hear
it. I'm going to please you.
Dear listeners, I'm going to please you with my tongue parts.
I forgot my seat doesn't have a back on it right now. Ow, I think I landed on my keys.